Hey, I'm going to read to you from the book of Genesis. I'm going to read to you from the third chapter. This is early in the book, obviously. Genesis, the first book of the New Testament. Old Testament, sorry. And the very first book written in the Bible. And God created all things. And God created mankind. And He brought the woman unto the man. And the first marriage began. And then, of course, they eventually had children. But as soon as God orchestrated two lives coming together and performed the first marriage, the first wedding ceremony, there was somebody who didn't like it. You see, Satan would love to take over the throne of heaven. He tried, but he didn't get far with that, and he got removed from the confines of heaven. To go after, he went after that which God had created. Have I done something to the microphone? And if I don't like you, I will strike you with a lightning bolt. So be good, all right? All right, that may happen again, and that's fine. Those sort of things happen all the time. Satan wanted to destroy what God created. And young people, I'm probably going to say this about three times or more tonight. Satan has no new tricks. He's still doing the same thing today that he did with the very first human beings. And let me just read to you the conversation that took place in the Garden of Eden between the devil, Satan, as the serpent, and Eve, and by proxy also Adam. You're familiar with this, but let me read it to you, all right? In Genesis 3, it says this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I'm going to stop right there. Hey, have you ever gotten talked into something? Most of us have. You gotten talked into doing something that after you did it, you're wondering, why did I do this? You know, I can't believe I got talked into this. I cite all kinds of examples. Girls may get talked into doing something with their hair. You know, a friend says, hey, why don't you color your hair purple? You know, okay. You know, and after she does it, she goes, what have I done? You know, and then, or hey, why don't you cut your hair? Why don't you straighten your hair? Why don't you curl your hair? Why don't you do a little bit of both? Cut over here and long over here and curl and, you know. And afterwards she says, what have I done? You know, all right, I'm out of ideas for girls. I don't know. But with guys, you know, hey, let's go jump over that car. Oh, okay. You know, guys do dumb things. But hey, let's put our hand on this hot stove. Yeah, let's do, you know, someday guys may get some sense about them, but for a while they do dumb things and they get talked into it. Hey, let's just jump off this building or let's chase this dog. You know, all kinds of crazy things. Well, look, when I was 13, I know we were asking ages a while ago and everything. My next door neighbor and I were the best of buddies. We went to two different churches, but they were good Bible believing people, and they live right next door to us. And my buddy next door, his name was David. He and his family and our family decided to go to a theme park. I lived in Texas. I still live in the area of Dallas, Texas. But there was a theme park being built or had been built in San Antonio, Texas. And our two families decided to go down to this theme park. Long story short, we got down there. We had to look at a bunch of educational exhibits that our families wanted us to look at. And then David and I said, hey, can we start riding rides? They said, yeah, go ride rides. So we took off and rode rides. Now look, it was around the age of 13 when I realized I didn't like anything that just went in a circle, you know, fast. I don't mean slow, like a carousel. That didn't bother me. But I didn't like things that just went fast. You know, I didn't want to see what I ate for breakfast. You know, I mean, it just made me sick. But when you're 13, it's not real cool to admit, I don't like to ride rides that go in a circle. I didn't want to come across as some kind of a wimp of a guy. So I was guiding David and myself through the theme park, and if I ever saw something that was one of those kind of rides, I said, oh man, we don't want to ride that. That's for girls. You know, that's for sissies, you know. I'm not going to ride that. Let's go over here. And so, you know, now give me any ride that goes, you know, roller coasters up and down and turns and goes even backwards and fast, bring it. No problem. But none of this, you know, anything like that. Well, everything was going great until all of a sudden my buddy David looked up and he says, hey! There's the best ride in the world. I looked up at what he was pointing at, and there was a building, just a round building. It was kind of an octagon-shaped building, and it was up on post. I couldn't see a ride. There was no ride visible, and there was a staircase leading up to a platform, and then you opened a door, and you went in, and I figured, okay, the ride must be inside that octagon-shaped building. And I said, what kind of ride is that? He said, Have you never ridden the, and I don't remember the name of it, you know. He said, have you never ridden the Sickmobile? I mean, he goes, this is the greatest ride. I go, no. And of course, I'm wondering, is it, you know. And so, but I didn't want to admit it. So I said, what does it do? And he says, I'm not going to tell you. He said, you're just going to have to experience it by yourself, on your own. I said, no, you need to tell me what is inside that building. I need to know. He says, no, man. He goes, I'm not going to tell you. And I said, yes, you are. I need to know, what kind of ride is it? And he says, no, man, you're just going to have to experience. So we're in this line, making our way to the stairwell, and we're going to get up to the platform. I should have known better. I saw people going inside. They opened the door, and I saw people going inside the building, but they never showed you the same people coming out. They went out some other door because you didn't come out the same way you went in. I just can tell you that. And so I was watching, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, and we finally got up to the door, and they let in, I'm going to guess, 15 to 20 of us, and we walked in, and it was nothing but a round room. That's all it was. And I thought, well, what's this? I mean, this must be the holding room. Oh, and that door over there, that's going to lead to the real ride over here. No, I'm actually in the room where the ride's going to take place. And the voice comes over and says, everybody please back up against the wall. And I said, oh, okay, I guess they're going to squeeze a few more people in here. So we all got up against the wall. And then some of you know what happened. The entire room begins to rotate in a circle, and it picked up speed faster and faster and faster. You say, was it clockwise or counterclockwise? I don't know and don't care. It was just going in a circle. And we go, we're faster and faster until all of a sudden we were stuck up against the wall, and then they dropped the floor out from under us, and we were just stuck up there. And I had noticed, I hate to admit this, I had noticed when we first came in right directly across, I had noticed this girl, remember I was 13, and I noticed this girl right across from me. She had this nice long blonde hair and everything. But when we started going around and around, we were stuck to the wall. Her hair had gone up above her head, and it was stuck up against the wall like this, and I said, no, you look dumb. And so we just kept spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning, and I don't know how long we spun. I think for about 3 days. I didn't think they were going to ever turn it off because I asked them to, you know. I yelled, turn it off! Please turn it off! Like a little child, you know. Mommy! And finally, the floor comes back up and they turned off the machine, and we all fell on the floor. And then this voice said, everybody please make your way to the exit door. And so we made our way over to the exit door and we got out. And my buddy David said, "Wasn't that great? Wasn't that the greatest ride?" And I said, "As soon as I can figure out which one of you that I'm looking at is the real you, I got about 7 images of you, I'm going to knock your head off your shoulders." Said, "I'm sick as a dog." You know those benches that they put at theme parks for grandparents primarily? They sit there and eat their ice cream. Well, I was hanging out with Granny the rest of the afternoon, you know, just hanging out. Say, "Hey, how you doing, Granny? You see that ride over there? Don't ride it. Don't ride it. You won't make it." And so I said, no, don't get on it, right. Well, I'm telling you, I was sick as a dog, but I lived after the fact. I got talked into it, and it just became a funny event. Can I tell you the one who is the master talker into her? We just read it. Satan has been in the business of talking people into things from the beginning of mankind. Let me tell you what he is. He's a liar. Satan lies. And his biggest lie is about the biggest subject of all. And the biggest subject is God. You know, people, let me say, if Satan can convince you of a lie about God, he's got you. Because you tell me what you feel about God, and I'm going to tell you, it will affect the decisions of the rest of your life. Who you'll date, who you'll marry, what kind of life you live, what kind of entertainment you choose, what kind of education you go into, whatever you do. I mean, if you tell me your relationship with God, and I could write the next chapters of your life. And Satan is the ultimate one to talk you into a lie. Hey, let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 8 in verse 44. I'm not making this up. In John 8 in verse 44, Jesus was speaking to a bunch of religious people. We would call them churchgoers, but they were not people who had a relationship with God. Jesus said this. He said, "You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he did not abide in the truth, because the truth is not in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he's a liar and the father of it." Now that's a little wordy, but let me make sure you saw what Jesus said about the devil. He said, "You're of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning." Can I draw a circle in your mind up here? Let's say right here, this circle. Here's what he was saying. He was saying, Satan's desire is to murder. Let me use another word. To destroy. His motive is destruction. And then Jesus went on to say, "And he was the father of lies." His method is lying. Let me say that again. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he did not abide in the truth. Let me put it like this. His motive is to destroy, and his method is deceit. Okay, let me put it on the bottom shelf. Look, he wants to destroy. This may be hard for you to comprehend right now, but he would love to destroy your future marriages. Now, honestly, most of you are not thinking about getting married, and that's good, and that's right. You ought not concern yourself, but it's coming. You know what? Satan would love to destroy your future marriage. Young people, are you catching this? So how does he do it? He lies about God to get you on the wrong path so that you'll make wrong decisions of friends and dating and so forth. He'd love to destroy your morals. He'd love to destroy the decent morals of life. He would love to destroy your mind. Come on, man, look at me. This gray head of hair. I've been around the block for a few years. I've seen far too many young people who wound up in crime and in addictions and in a divorce court, and they've wound up with disease and sinfulness. Why? Because somewhere along the way, they believe the devil's lies. And with all of my heart, I want you to see where it started. It started in the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you may be listening to the devil's lies even right now, and you don't even know it. He wants to destroy you. First of all, he wants you to think inaccurately about God. Let me read verse 1 again. Some of you have a Bible or something in front of you. Here's what the devil said. In verse 1, he said, it says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, did God say you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now get the picture, all right? Here, let's use our imagination. Hopefully this is not on, not a hot microphone. Let's use your imagination. This is a tree, okay? Very skinny tree with a funny looking ponytail, okay? And unique fruit being born on the tree. All right, here's what happened. Satan comes up and he goes, hey, woman, Eve, come here. Let me ask you something. Did God say you couldn't eat off every tree of the garden? Did he say you couldn't eat off this tree? And Eve said, yeah, that's right. He said not to eat off the fruit off of that tree. And Satan said, really? Did God really tell you that? What's he trying to do? He's trying to get humanity to think wrong, inaccurately about God. He's saying this, okay. Okay, if you want to do what God tells you to do, God, okay. But look what you're missing out on. Look how much fun you can have. Look at the fruit. Kind of weird, but I mean, look at it. I mean, if you don't go ahead and do what he tells you to do, I mean, but I'm just telling you, you're really shortchanging your life. You know, this God that you hang out with, Eve, Adam, he's a killjoy. He's a cosmic killjoy. He's trying to keep you from having fun. Let me look at me, young people. Satan has no new tricks. He comes along and he tells you, if you do everything that God's Word says and you do what God tells you to do, look at all the things you cannot do. You know what Eve should have said? She should have said, serpent, Satan, quit trying to get me to look at one thing. I'm living in a garden of trees. I got fruit every which way. I got a husband who loves me. Look at him. He's swinging on a vine from tree to tree. I mean, I got it made. And I get to walk with God every day in the cool. And you're trying to get me to look at one thing. That's what you and I do. We start saying, if I really give everything to God, if I surrender everything to God, look at everything I can't do. I can't go to those parties. I can't smoke that. I can't drink that. I can't tell those stories and jokes and laugh at them. I can't hang out with that crowd. I mean, look at all the fun. He's a liar. Let me ask you, is this a mean God? I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Does that sound like a mean God? Psalm 84 and verse 11. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Jesus, when He was here, He said in John chapter 10, in verse 10, He said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The Bible calls Him the God of mercies and the God of all comfort. Satan's a liar. He tells you, if you follow God, you're not going to be able to do anything in life. Your life's going to be full of misery. He's a liar. Why? Because he's trying to destroy your future. Look, I battled this when I was a teenager. You say, Mr. Morris, were you a teenager? Yeah. Long. Me and Abraham Lincoln were close. I mean, we were really thick. I battled it. I thought, okay, if I listen to the Bible and I do what God tells me to do, I'll probably never play sports ever again. I love sports. I won't be able to play ball. He'll probably take away every game I want to play and probably just sit around and read books all day long, which I would love to do now. But back then it was like, no. You know what I did? I finally said, God, I'm not going to listen to the devil. I'm going to listen to you. You know what happened? I played sports all through high school. I played sports all through college. Come on, man. I was a youth pastor for 20 years. 20 years. I was a camp director for 5. I've played every game known to humanity. All right? Everything you did tonight, I've been a part of it 1,000 times. I've been a part. I've made up games, you know. Oh, okay, all you 8th graders, come here. Here, catch this ball over the side of a mountain. Good catch. You know, I mean, honestly, God said, give me your life and I'll give you more than you can keep up with. I was afraid. If I give God everything, I'll probably never get married. Because who would want to marry a guy that wants to live for God and he's on fire for God? And if I do finally get some girl to marry me, you know, she'll probably be, you know, a loser. I just get somebody that's not very... Can I tell you, I got the queen of the world. I knocked it out of the park. I was in college and I met this girl named Lynn. She was a cheerleader for the team I played for. I'm telling you, when I asked her eventually if she'd go on a date with me and then eventually if she would marry me and she said yes, I said, are you serious? You're going to marry me? I mean, don't play with my emotions now. I mean, you're the best that I've ever known in the world. I still feel that way, even more today. God said, son, give me your life and you'll never be sorry. I was afraid if I give God everything, I'd lose all my friends. Satan said, Morris, if you give God everything, you're going to lose all of your friends. Every last one of your friends. No one's going to hang out with you. You're going to lose all of your friends. I think I had 3 at the time. And I thought, I'm going to lose all of my friends. Can I just tell you, I finally said, devil, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to believe God wants what's best for me. And I say this carefully. And I say this directly and humbly. I have more friends than I can keep up with. I have friends all over the world. The devil is a liar. He wants you to think inaccurately about God. But I'll tell you something else. He wants you to think independently from God. Did you notice in verse 5, for sake of time, let me just remind you what he said to Eve. He said, look, Eve, he told you not to eat off this tree because he knows that when you do, you will be gods with a little g. You can be your own God. In other words, you can be independent. You're afraid that if you give God complete control of your life, I mean, he just puts a thumb over you and he walks around with a baseball bat and he says, you better do what I tell you to do. And you're going to, that God is a God of rules and regulations and stipulations and handcuffs and I can't do anything. Satan is a liar. The Bible says that the wicked, in the book of Proverbs, the wicked, the sinful, will be held by the cords of their own iniquities. Jesus said, if you follow me and learn of me and take on the yoke with me, in other words, we'll go together. My burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord was saying, join me. Don't try to live independently of me. Satan says, hey, go on. Don't let the Bible affect you thinking that, you know, if you give your life to God, you'll have a good time. No, don't want to do that. You want to be free, don't you? You want to be able to choose what you want to choose and hang out who you want to hang out with and do what you want to do? Well, then just kind of ignore God. You want to be independent of God. And the devil, while he's telling you that, is working. He's getting his chains behind your back ready to ensnare you, to entrap you, to make you his slave. Teenagers, you're going to be somebody's servant. And it's either the devil or it's Almighty God. He wants you to think inaccurately about God. He wants you to think independently from God. And I get this. He wants you to think indifferently about God. I don't hear this word anymore, but a few years ago, I used to hear girls in particular. Somebody would say something and girls would go, ah, whatever. I don't hear that much anymore. What does the word whatever mean? It means I don't care. I'm indifferent. Satan wants you to be indifferent toward God. Listen, here's what he said in verse 4. He said, did God say that if you eat off this tree, you're going to die? And Eve said, yes, if we eat off this tree, we're going to die. And here's what Satan said in verse 4. He said, you will not surely die. You're not going to die. Let me ask you something. Did Eve and Adam eventually die? Sure. But that word die, young people, has a twofold meaning. And this is very important that you get this. It wasn't just physical death. It was spiritual death. And that meant a separation from God. We're talking about dying in eternity in a horrible place called hell for, can you wrap your brain around this? Eternity. He says, don't treat God's word like it's accurate. You're not going to die. Oh, yes, they would. Satan comes along and he says, don't let preachers talk to you about dying and going to hell. That's not going to happen. Yes, it will if you reject the salvation plan that God has for you. Teenagers, can I tell you something? Satan is a liar. God tells the truth. And the truth is this. He said, the wages of your sinful behavior is going to lead to eternal separation called death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's Word says, I want to give you a gift called eternal life. Satan says, oh, come on, don't believe all that stuff. You're not going to die. You know why? Because Satan wants to destroy you in a horrible place called the pit of the lake of fire. And Satan doesn't want you to accept God's salvation plan. If I went out and asked, in fact, if I asked some of you privately, if I said to you, hey, are you going to go to heaven when you finally die? Now, that's kind of strange to talk about dying, but you know teenagers die too, and you don't ever know when it's going to happen. Hey, are you going to go to heaven when you die? There's some of you that might say, I think so. Yeah, I hope so. Probably. Doing the best I can, mister. You've totally been misled. In fact, you've been lied to. Are you catching this? Because Satan says to you, keep doing the best you can to be the best student, to be the best daughter, to be the best son, be the best kid. Just try to do the best you can. And at the end of your life, you get to go to heaven. He's a liar. I know, you make a good grade in school, you get a mark on your report card or some on the test, great job. You get a reward. You play a game and you win the game, yes, great, you win a reward. You run a race and you win, they put a medal around your neck, good. You join the army or military someday and you pass a certain test and you get a higher rank. Everything you've ever done or will do seems like you get a job and you do a good job and they give you a higher position. You get a raise in pay. Everything you do, you seem to earn it. And then you say, hey, you're going to go to heaven. And you say, well, I'm trying to earn it. You don't earn heaven. And it goes contrary to everything that you've done all your life. The thing is, you have to come to the point where you say, I can't get to God on my own. None of us can. Satan says, you're not going to die. Yes, you will. And you'll be eternally separated from God. And no one here tonight ought to go to hell. There came a day when I recognized I came from a good family. Had a great dad. Had a great mom. We went to church. I memorized Bible verses. I participated in activities. As a little kid, I went to vacation Bible school. I did everything that was expected of me. But there came a day when I recognized none of that's going to get me to God. Because I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. And my sin has separated me from God. But Jesus, the Son of God, stepped in between God and me. And He paid for my sin before a holy God. Somebody's got to pay for your sin. And it'll either be you in eternal fires of hell, or you accept the payment that was made for you on the cross of Calvary when Jesus paid for your sin indebtedness to God. I was a boy and I said, yeah, I'm a sinner. Jesus, You died for me. You paid what I could not pay. And You rose from the dead and You crushed the enemy, Satan. I accept You into my life. Come into my life. If you ask me tonight, Mr. Morris, you're going to go to heaven? I can tell you without a pause, absolutely. And I had nothing to do with it. It was all because of Jesus. Satan's a liar. He wants to destroy you. What's this got to do with believers who already have accepted Christ? Are you close to your Heavenly Father tonight? Are you right with Him? Or have you drifted from Him? I disobeyed my dad years ago and disappointed my dad. And my dad just simply looked at me and he shook his head. And he walked away. And I tried to ignore the conviction I felt that I had hurt my dad. I went to my room. I was a little guy and I took a ball and I started playing with this ball and I was bouncing it on the floor and throwing it up. And then I laid down on my back and threw it up against the wall and caught it, threw it up against the wall and caught it. And I was trying to forget that look of disappointment in my dad's eyes. But the whole time I'm playing with this ball, all I could think about was I hurt daddy. So then I had this thing called a record player. Record players are coming back. I had a record player in my room and I turned on these records. Some Disney songs, you know. The Banana Boat song. The Daniel Boone song. The theme song. That was a guy's song. I cranked up the music. Kept playing with the ball. But all I could think about was daddy. So then I got a coloring book and I got some crayons and I started coloring. Trying to get my mind focused on a picture. But all I could think about was my dad. Finally, I threw it all down, walked out of my room, walked into the place where my dad was and crawled up into his lap and I looked him in the eye. Fellas, catch this. I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, I'm sorry. And he smiled at me. He held me. As a Christian, there are times when you know you've gotten away from God. Maybe you're on your way to heaven. That's good. But you're not living for Him. And you can crank up music and you can play games and you can get involved with projects and you can mess with the phone and you can do everything under the sun. But the whole time that's happening, all you know is God's not pleased with my life. Go to Him and say, Father, I'm sorry. I want to be close to You again.